Hello and welcome to episode, insert number here, 171?
171.
171! A palindrome, bitches! Fuck yeah, palindromes. God, I love palindromes.
Yeah. I just realized that the
camera's way. The longest sensical palindrome I know is, I, madame, I made radio, so I dared. Am I mad? Am I? I love that one.
I always hear the one that gets brought up often around me is Panama? The strap-on.
Oh, no.
Because back... Well, no, never mind. It's not a palindrome. Backwards, it says no parts, so it's like a theoretical palindrome.
It's okay. What's the word they call for it? An aptogram.
Okay.
Well, an aptogram doesn't have to be reversed, but so an ambigram is when you...
Yeah, you flip it upside down.
I worked in the tattoo industry for that. An anagram. An anagram is just when you reshuffle the letters.
Mm-hmm.
An aptogram is reshuffling that after you reshuffle, it makes sense with the first one.
Gotcha.
Like, for example, astronomer rearranges into moon starer,
mm-hmm.
and 11 plus 2 rearranges to 12 plus 1.
Well, that's fun.
You know, and there's a lot of them like that.
Crippled System, the linguistics podcast.
Yeah. Woot.
Yep.
Sadly, 171 is not a prime palindrome because it is divisible by 3.
That it is.
You can easily tell because it's also divisible by 9.
I guess I just never paid that much attention to math.
Well, you just add the digits, and 1 plus 7 plus 1 is 9. And if all the digits add to 9, it's divisible by 9.
That's some crazy shit.
And if they add to a double-digit number, you just do it again, and eventually...
My arms, and it's got like a second delay on my...
High class podcast here. Andy's just entertained by the delay on his flapping arms on the camera.
It's going to be one of...
like a two-year-old.
It is really cool, though. It's like...
There was two kids dancing around in front of our... we have the security cameras at our front doors at the store that have the live feed TV right there so you know not to steal.
Sure.
And these kids were just dancing around because they were amused by the fact that they're on camera.
Well, if Andy, like... spun around and then spun around back quick enough, he could see what his butt looked like on TV.
That's true. You can rarely see what your own butt looks like.
Yeah.
It's like they were amused
this
by the
is,
fact...
This may be dangerous.
Just going to break his ankle.
Their minds were blown. Well, you didn't have to do the... No. You just...
It was almost.
Just, no, just face away from the camera.
Oh, and then look and back
then
just, right away.
Yeah, and then just right turn away. Around and it's you can like, see your butt. Like, you didn't have to twirl. But the kids were amazed because, like, if you look at a mirror and you raise your right hand, the hand in the mirror is on your right,
yeah.
So it's your reflection's left hand. They were amazed that the camera raised its right hand, so it's on their left, and their brains could not fathom why that was.
Oh, that is messed up, though, when you get, like, a true reflection back to you?
Yeah, where yeah. It's the diagonal opposite instead of the directly facing.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I'm Nathan.
I'm Brian.
I'm done setting up shit.
Sweet.
My name is Andy, and I play the mercenaries.
And yeehaw. you're a southern boy.
You can be
a southern boy. I wasn't
Why
making fun. We can
fun
do the whole thing with southern accents.
All right.
Yep.
I don't know if I
can. Come on,
Sonny. On that one.
I'll just be a grizzled prospector. This here's my claim.
I say.
This is gold!
Foghorn, Leghorn up
there. Now you just sound like Foghorn, Leghorn.
No, you sound like Foghorn, Leghorn.
Fucking Chicken Hawks.
Fucking Chicken Hawks, yeah.
So I've been playing Legion a lot lately.
Legion? Which, hilariously, is hard mode now.
So are you talking about Legion as in the new WoW expansion Legion?
No,
because
no,
that
no.
is actually really good. Hey, shut your pie hole before you throw up.
They got rid of bastions.
Bastions.
Or keeps or whatever the hell thing. The thing where you logged in, you mm-hmm. played for 8 hours doing dailies that didn't involve any other human beings, and then you logged out.
Scratch that. Not 8 hours, you only did it for like 20 minutes.
Okay, still. Like, I mean, the point of an MMO is those first two M's.
No, there's massive multiplayer of other people doing the same thing at the same time, all in its own instance.
It's like shitting.
It's like just Farmville. At least Farmville, you could visit each other's farms.
Yeah.
You could visit everyone else's garrison.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you have to group with them, though.
Fucking A.
Amanda
get a
and I
part-time
were,
job.
Amanda and I were watching Steven Universe Season 2 on Hulu, and we saw the commercial and it looked super cool, like the animated WoW commercial. We didn't know that at the time, and we were just both like, yeah, that looks like a really neat game. Like the song was cool in the background and the graphics were cool. Like, it looked like there was something going on there. And then it said like World of Warcraft Legion or new expansion or whatever, and I needed a shower afterwards, because for a moment I was attracted to that.
It's like when you see like some sweet tight ass walking down the street with a nice ponytail and then it turns around and it's like some meth dude. Yep. And you're like, no, I got an erection at your buttocks.
That happened once when I used to work at Papa John's in the Dells when I was a kid, and this creepy guy we had working with us would scope out ladies from the smoking area. He wasn't a smoker. He'd just go out there to stare at people's asses. Mm-hmm. And he was just like really digging this one chick's in air quotes butt, and turned around and it was a dude, and he never went out there again.
Well, you know, that's one less creepy butt starer in the world.
It is, yeah.
I thought you were done setting up stuff, Andy.
It just looked off. Either you're off or something.
I'm kind of off here. Now I'm dead center on the table.
The camera again, though.
Well, now I'm dead center on the table. I was just over on the side where I normally am.
By the time we fix this, it'll be over and everything will be perfect at the end.
That's what she said.
Just get into the center and you'll be fine.
Were you guys both at the event yesterday?
Nope.
I showed up after the event to go out to eat with Johnny Pastrami and the Ackers.
I forgot.
I
got off of work at 3:30. I was like a half a mile away from you guys, and I just forgot there was an event, and I went home.
Well, I feel like a complete ass bag. Like, Ethan and I were planning on going to the event, and then the night before was when my legs started to really give me a bunch of trouble. So I woke up, and I did the kind thing and messaged him, told him that I wasn't going to be going, but then I had realized he wanted to borrow Wrong Eye and Snapjaw from me. And usually I don't fall back asleep after I wake up, so I wasn't worried about getting up and doing anything. But I fell back asleep. He came over to my house, didn't try to ring the doorbell at all because he didn't want to wake anybody up. And 20 minutes later, I realized he was waiting out there, and he had taken off by then. But he was going to go, didn't show up.
We could record at noon, like once on a random Sunday, just for our European listeners.
Yeah, we could give him a break from
just once
waking up at the
ass crack. Just one nooner.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. Only one of us works on weekends.
To be perfectly honest, we should be broadcasting later as well, because we are, you know, an explicit podcast. We should be on that late time slot.
Noon?
Noon is fine, yeah.
That's like regionalist.
Yeah. I mean, we're like midnight right now.
Yeah.
For him, them. For him, I don't know. Anybody who doesn't live central time, it's just their own problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Move to Madison, Wisconsin, and you know you'll be fine.
Yeah,
that's like the trippiest. I know Gen Con's come and gone and is way past now, but the trippiest thing for me is when I get into Indianapolis and then I'm in another time zone. Like, I just cannot. I don't frame Indianapolis as not being like in the Midwest area, so I think it's just still in the Central time zone, but they're just some special snowflake state.
On my way home,
they changed it. No, I think they actually follow the Eastern time zone. For them, they used to not actually switch to anybody's Indiana.
Arizona
doesn't do daylight savings, right? And so they're all fucked up.
Yeah.
Half the year.
I just I told some guy one of our listeners that I was going to be meeting them at 5 o'clock, and I just assumed that it was going to be the Central time. So I showed up an hour late, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're talking to our listeners? What?
Yeah, I know. One of them, he was the guy who...
Was it Mike?
No, his name's Patrick. he sent me the Lilu Dallas multi-pass out of the loot crate when I, like, just creamed my pants over it. Oh. So he invited me over to his house during Gen Con. I had to leave super early on Wednesday, but I went out there and visited him and got to... the beer machine guys were there too, so I got to insult them to their faces. It was very refreshing.
Good. Mm, yeah.
Yep.
The most current loot crate has, like, you know, like one of those figures that we have, the random ones. Yeah, of Mega Man.
That's pretty legit.
And one of my coworkers got that crate, and I'm obsessed with Mega Man, and he doesn't give two shits, so he said he'd give it to me, and then he keeps forgetting to, so he's a liar.
Mega Man's my jam. Actually, I'm kind of pissy. Because I was looking for my Mega Man Tron crossover shirt that I got from one of those rip-off t-shirt companies.
Sure.
And I fucking left it in the hotel room at MomCon, didn't realize it until like 2 months later, which is now. which and makes me sad.
Did you bother calling and seeing if they lost and founded it?
I mean, I could. I don't know who you else might would as well want a call. 5X shirt with Mega Man shooting his load in the air, but...
Everyone. Who wouldn't want that?
They could use it as a blanket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth at least giving it a shot. Yeah, I mean, they may keep it for X amount of time. It may already be gone, but...
I'll give them a jingle on Monday or something.
I mean, I got shit in our Austin found that's been there for like 2 years. You just throw it in a box and throw it in the, you know, back room, and then nobody touches it ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like immoral to root through the...
Yeah, or throw it away, because you know the instant you throw that shit away, the very next day they come in, exactly, and it's like, yeah, motherfucker.
Or if you're at a Denny's and you suddenly have these boxes of cards and rule books for board games, you keep it for a day and then you throw it.
Yep.
Yep, one day.
Well, keep it until, like, didn't you already, you had like called them and mm-hmm. said you were coming in, and then they threw it out after that phone call?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's shitty.
Good times.
Yeah, I'll be there after work. Okay. And then I get there, it's like, oh, we threw it out. I'm like, thanks.
I think that's awesome. one of the things that I can be most, or that I'm most happy about as far as my gaming like career has been so far, is that when I made the switch to mini wargaming, I was always worried about losing shit because mm-hmm. there's just so many little bits and shit that you need to keep track of, especially more so with War Machine than any other game. And I don't think I've lost one piece of anything. No tokens, no nothing. Maybe a tape measure once, but that's because everybody in Baraboo uses that stupid lever tape measure. Like, it's about the size of a yo-yo and it's got the little push down to retract it and just goes, always stays out.
Oh.
I use the little yellow ones you get from the dollar store.
Yeah.
Those are fine. I honestly really hate the people. Not the hate the people, but I do hate people.
I hate.
Ridiculously large tape measures that's like an inch across for just the yep. tape measure itself. Yeah. The, you know, if you drop that thing, it's going to shatter.
Yeah, like a carpenter's tape measure. It's like, yeah, you don't need that giant fucking thing.
No. Mm-hmm. Now with the pre-measuring in the new edition, I'm more so about just templates and widgets. Like, I just need to, I think there's like a person who advertises to Guild Ball players who sells like 7, 8, and 9 inch widgets. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I need that stuff in my life because it's so important.
I was thinking about doing what Jim did in Mark 1. I don't know if you remember Jim when he built his own 2 inch widgets and that he just put out like a strong piece of wire. So then he was able to just kind of lay it down in between two models for reach.
Nope.
You don't remember those?
Nope.
Okay. Well, anyway, I want to build some balsa wood, you know, longer 10-inch ones that I could just put down, 11, 12-inch ones. So mm-hmm. it's a little just easier to deal with.
It just makes things move so much more quickly. And I think, like, any way you can mitigate chewing up your clock with pre-measuring is important. So try and get rid of the tape measures and move to widgets if you can.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably end now. Go through announcements.
Announcements.
We don't really. There's a tournament up in Madison, Wisconsin, September 24th, over at Misty Mountain. 75 points. I haven't actually posted it anywhere yet. So
there was. I meant to announce this last episode. Keep talking while I look up the thing I meant to say before.
I was done with my announcement.
Well,
there's also a Waukesha event that's coming up soon too. I know that one's in September as well.
Well, there's one way up north.
That's on, at Johnny C's Cards on the 28th, right?
That's on the 28th. Yeah, 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 because
28th is it?
The 27th. It's just they have it for, they pull a weekend thing, so it's like August 28th through the 29th.
So I found the thread, and it's PG Fluffy Bunny, who's running his first tournament ever as a press ganger.
I think well, that is Fluffy a Bunny. Female.
Hers? Okay, yeah, I don't know.
I believe that's Megan.
Who's that, Megan?
Is yeah, that the Cooley Con thing in lacrosse?
I think so.
What? No, this is the Johnny C thing in okay. Sheffield, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think
which
I
is
think
up Fluffy right Bunny... next to
lacrosse.
Curtis, which is where Raylene's parents live, like the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah. But so it's actually convenient that I could drive like 4 hours up to the middle of nowhere in the north of Wisconsin, and then just drive 20 minutes and crash at my in-laws' house. It is crazy trying to drive to the house there because there's like a county highway J or whatever, and then a mile later there's another county highway J because in between those two is the county line. And so if you turn on the wrong county highway J, you're just fucked. And so when you give people directions, you're like, yeah, just go north on J, and then they're just gone. They're dead. They're going to drive into the Upper Peninsula and die.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, if you're going to try to use those GW sticks, those are not really the greatest.
No, we still have them at the shop in Baraboo, yeah, just like stuffed people in a corner somewhere. And every now and again, when someone gets out of line on a War Machine night, I just got to whip them into shape.
But I actually use those to play with my cats.
It says August 28th, Sunday. That's this coming Sunday.
Oh, so it's a Sunday event. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's this coming up Sunday at Johnny C. Cards, 536 yep. Grand Ave, Sheffield, Wisconsin. It says 11 through 11:55 is registration. Noon is round one. I think they're only expecting to go I think they're expecting a very small turnout. It would be cruelly hilarious if like 20 people showed up for this.
Yeah.
And just swarmed poor Fluffy Bunny. Mm-hmm. So that's my
announcement. I know that shop has had like not large tournaments before, but like double digits before for sure. But I think up north it seems like I maybe have a wishy-washy meta as far as kind of like how Oshkosh is, where like they've probably got like 20 or 30 players in their meta, but only like four of them show up to any given tournament. Probably has something more to do with people working weekends, but yeah, I don't. The Waukesha one I was trying to look for, but I thought that was like in late September, early October, or some shit like that. It was before War Machine weekend.
That I don't know. I just remember the Fluffy Bunny thing.
Yeah, I won't.
So also, War Machine weekend is coming up as well. That's
which I apparently am mandatorily going to.
Yeah, I heard that you got going. Roped right into that
I one. Was like, I'm not going. They're like, yes, you are. Yeah. Like, I thought Brian was going to beat me to death. He was so angry at me saying that.
Yeah, yeah, you're going.
You just couldn't. Like,
you're going to work with me in the Hobby Lounge. I don't get to say no.
Yeah. Have to bring some new Glarus spears. I mean, we're going to anyway, but Norbert wanted to try some. And it's, you know.
Oh, he's coming from
He's coming from over the pond. He deserves a two women and a spotted cow.
They actually, new Glarus put out two new ones. I think they're both seasonal. Well, one of them for sure is seasonal. I don't know if the other one is.
Well, is it seasonal or is it one of the like one and done specialty ones that they do?
I don't know.
You know, they have that whole line.
There's one that has a pink label and it's called the Bubbler.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is. I didn't try it because I'm just really iffy on trying new beers like that.
Nobody outside of Milwaukee explain it.
Yeah, just no.
Let them be confused.
Then the other one is they have the Stag, and that's their Oktoberfest beer. So they made an Oktoberfest one, and that one is really good. It's like a red ale. It's really legit.
Jeremy was replaced by Can, and Can interrupts a lot less.
Yeah, Can's a little bit easier to
also,
swallow.
Also, Can isn't as negative about everything.
That's very true, too. What do you think of the Can?
Can doesn't hate all things like Jeremy does.
I do think we need to redo the... Now that I've been like in the Legion dojo for like a few months, we need to redo the Drunken Legion Jeremy episode, and then I can show up and slap him whenever he says something stupid.
Well, I'm going to do a Minions one. I keep thinking about it, and I do the math, and like it's going to have to be double-digit hours long. Like, it's going to be 12-some hours long for me to do all of Minions.
I mean, Minions is basically the same size as a normal faction. A little bit less, but it's...
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's shockingly close,
but it does
have 10 casters.
It does pull a lot from mercs, too. Like, there's some merc-minion crossover in there, too.
Not as many as you'd think, but there are some in there. But it is sizable, and it's also interesting because although maybe this is an artificial distinction because any other faction just looks at their entire pool against their entire pool, but I feel like there's more to talk about as far as like mixing races, you know, pig casters with gator options and gator casters with pig options. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's artificial, like saying, yeah, Scar's a Satixis, but you can run her with Banes too. Like maybe that's not actually unique, but it just feels different in Minions.
I think it's unique now just because you couldn't do it before. Like,
so they were balanced for it originally.
Caliban's like wetting his pants over brigands, right?
Fuck, so. Caliban with brigands. Jesus. Oh, what's that? POW 17 guns? Sure, why not?
What the fuck? Okay, never mind.
I'm also thinking I'm just going to drink an entire bottle of the like 2-liter bottles of Captain Morgan's over the course of it.
Of the Captain Morgan iced tea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's, I mean, over the course of 12 hours, that probably averages out to a absurd amount of alcohol.
Of course, I would like to watch the the time, basically to time lapse it.
Sure.
It's just Nathan like,
and watch the thing just shakily lower down and jump around the table. That's the best part of time lapse.
Yeah, the last part is just you like spooging over theory crafting on what the pig Valkyries do.
I want feral Valkyries!
We were talking on Friday and we were like, I wonder if they're going to be cavalry.
They're just going to be grotesques. They're literally just going to have the exact rules as Mark II grotesques.
Two clawed hands, but only one attack.
Yep. Well, they attack with their chin. That's grotesques. They use their giant Jay Leno lantern chin as an attack.
So, on to War Machine Weekend. We have the painting competition that's happening. We have the painting lounge.
Are you doing the lead-up competition again, like last year?
Which one? The 90-day challenge?
Yeah.
The bloody... That one is actually in progress. I don't know. Did you send me the picture? Was that you?
No.
Somebody sent me a picture through my email with a shot of just a thumbs up and Bloody Bradigan. I have no idea who it was.
Is Bloody Bradigan the model?
Yeah, no, I would. If it were me, I would just show it to you and be like, here it is, Andy.
That's I basically trust most folks on it. But I think I think Bloody Bradigan is a very good choice for it. He's not really a very useful player.
He's better now. I can give you that much.
But I mean the amount of detail you can get onto him. I mean he's a lot of bear skin, and so if you're
And freehand those tattoos. I mean he's a sailor. He should be. And those things aren't like the model has no indication of what tattoos are supposed to go where. Correct. That's all going to be freehand work. You can get super creative with it.
Yep.
Yeah. On the I was thinking about, because I was really interested in doing that, just because like tattoos are something that I haven't really engaged on a model yet. And when I see other people do them, it's very rare that someone actually like gets them realistically right looking, because they always do like these bold bang tattoos, and that's just not the way it really works. Like you kind of have to, they have to be more dull. They can't like just be.
They have to be aged.
They almost have to get aged, and
they can't look like a brand new tattoo. Like if you, I mean, obviously, when you get a brand new tattoo, the thing just looks like it's just markered on.
Yeah.
That's how it looks.
But Bloody Bradigan didn't just enlist. He didn't just excitedly get drunk and get his first tattoo as a seaman. Like he is old and grizzled, and his youngest tattoo is a decade old.
Correct.
Like that shit would be faded. Some of it might be bad.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see if somebody can realistically do a bad tattoo.
I'm very interested in seeing what people put out. I know that the person that won it last year for the 90-day challenge for Melissa Russell she actually finished hers in 3 days, and it was like right before the event.
Mm-hmm.
That model actually won overall Master Craftsman too. So I'm very curious to see what she will do and others.
Maybe
will do
she misheard and thought it was a 90-hour challenge. Was that a cat
something?
Yeah, Cat Martin.
Yep. She, oh my god, her new Facebook profile that like I don't know if it is Nurgle or if it's from another line or something, but it's some pustule like disease demon. Mm-hmm. And she said it was like the first time she's painted something with that texture. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, she's
legit.
Got some very very beautiful stuff. I'm just very excited to see what people will do with Bloody Bradigan.
I'm super stoked to try. I haven't decided, like, given myself a 100% if I'm going to War Machine Weekend or not, and Brian's
You're
not
going!
Here to badger me.
You're going!
But,
Government-sponsored, what was it, a fuck cruise?
Yeah, government-sponsored fuck cruise.
Yeah, across his chest, yeah.
I was going to try and redo, like, convert Bradigan a little bit just to be cute, but I don't know if I'm going to do it anymore. I was going to cut off his boots and then just put feet on him.
Sure.
And then try and get the whole rooster pig tattoo on his feet. I thought that would be really neat, but I don't
know. That's a Forge World model, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty legit, though. Yeah. Every time you can...
No conversions.
Okay, I was just...
I think I should double-check that. I should post it again. But, no conversions. We just wanted just the static model.
No worries. It just would have been neat.
Because it's a painting challenge, not a conversion challenge. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to have everybody have the same canvas.
Yeah, I
technically,
know.
Technically, 90 days is a shit ton of time
to
finish
is.
One model.
It is a lot of time.
So it's somebody asked me, it was like, why are you giving 90 days? Like, well, some fuckers out there paint slow. And, you know...
Well,
I
want
to give them
a
chance.
Yeah, if you want it to look good, you can probably take some time and walk away from it. I know if I spend too much time on a model, I get real sloppy towards the end.
Yeah. And then also, there's Game Hole Con. That's happening on the same goddamn weekend as War Machine weekend again.
Well, it's going to alternate. Like, yeah. Alternate years it will and won't.
Last
like,
year it was fine. It wasn't like, the same day. It was the week before.
Yeah. It's always going to be on or 1 week before or 1 week after. Like, it's just right there.
It is nice for the people who aren't going to War Machine weekend, though, because I think in the Bear Boo crew there's quite a few that are actually staying here. And I know we're going to try and get more people to come out, but Aaron and Danielle from Janesville will be there because they won the tickets to go there. So they were planning on going to Game Hole Con, ended up getting stuck into going to War Machine weekend.
Well, stuck.
Not stuck, I mean, but like it's one thing to say, yeah, we won these tickets. You want to buy them?
The annoying issue, too, is I've been...
I'll take the free tickets. If they don't go, I'll take the tickets. That'll encourage me to go.
You're going anyway.
I think Amanda and I might go with them and then split a room with them. That way they don't have to worry about it.
So, man, all these, those two events basically happening on the same day of the year, I've been slowly getting more and more where I really want to go to a BlizzCon, at least one BlizzCon, just to go. And BlizzCon is always that same fucking weekend,
too. I'll go with you if we cosplay as the Lost Vikings.
I'll go. Yes, that'll be fine. Yeah. I'll do that.
You get to be Olaf.
Yeah, yeah, you need to come. You need to be Olaf. Eric the Swift, I'll be...
you're Bjorn.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Balog.
Balog, yeah.
Balog, the Fierce.
Yeah, I could rock it. Whatever.
Yeah, but we have to be Lost Vikings. The second one where you got like the robot arm and everything.
No.
Eric had the cybernetic eye.
We could be Lost Vikings. We could just be going around asking everyone for directions.
Yeah, we can next level it.
But I really want to go to a BlizzCon. It's been something I've been holding in my back. Maybe once I stop playing War Machine, I'll go to BlizzCon.
Someone in the chat says I should do the minion version of what Trevor is doing for Scorn, but I don't know what Trevor is doing for Scorn.
He's doing a web series. It might be a vlog even. It's called A Man Scorned.
Yeah.
Where he just goes through and it's kind of like either he's going through things. I don't know if he's going through things one by one, but it's more of like a narrative on his experiences with Scorn and where he's sitting at right now with them. Mm.
I was going to do that as a thread on the Muse forums, except I only get like one game every 2 weeks in because I just don't have time to play and I work. And so it was not very, it wasn't like Jeremy where he had 7 games a day that he just vomited onto the air. I was like, here's my first game. See you in a month.
Yep. No, I'd like to do the same thing with Legion just because they've changed a lot and it doesn't seem like, I mean, they've got their regular champions talking about things, but it's all the same 3 casters in rotation. So, I mean,
the issue I would have with doing, like a model entry per episode or something like that, is that you'd want to talk about
the synergies.
And so, if I start with casters and I talk about, let's just say Carver, and I talk about the things that work well with Carver. Then I do all the casters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when I get to Brigands, I already talked about Brigands 10 times.
Yep.
I talked about them with every single one of the casters when I was talking about the casters. So what do I talk about now?
Yeah,
or to avoid that problem, I'm like, well, Carver's good with Brigands, but I won't tell you why because I want to save that for the Brigands episode, and then that's just going to be just as stupid.
Yeah.
So having just the one dump, I can just vomit it all out there. And
I think it's better to do it as a dump.
Yeah.
Like just a shot of you on a toilet talking about minions.
It'd also be interesting to just approach it from a list building perspective too. Like you build like 10 lists or something like that.
Sure.
And within those 10 lists, you have encompassed all the models in the faction, and then that way you can define their synergies within those lists. You know,
that would actually be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way you wouldn't have to worry about like, here's these Gatorman posse that you can just throw in the garbage. But
hey, they're good. Somewhere.
Firestarter.
They're good in a swamp pit. I can't give them that much.
Oh, you had topics.
Yeah. Or we could just...
Well, that guy's thing, he's all talking about Scorn. We'll talk about that later. Okay. That's a Zappity Grumble thing.
Gotcha.
So topics I have. It's actually more of a forced topic. Nathan, tell us about your dog.
Oh,
do you have some good stories about your dog?
Man,
because...
Alive.
Because I've heard some pretty good stories so far about wonderful Kaya.
Well, she,
and I think our fans would love to hear that too.
So, oh my lord, man alive! She literally almost died. She literally almost died at about one yesterday morning. Not like, you know, 15 hours ago, but previous, you know, sure, day. So listeners / viewers might recall that Raylene and I went on a road trip down to Albuquerque, New Mexico to see... Did you see my Facebook thing about this?
Yeah.
Okay. To see Stephen King and George Martin and George R.R. Martin. And Raylene got an autographed copy of his newest novel. And so there goes. Good for it. Forget about that. I only bring that up for unrelated reasons. It has nothing to do with this anecdote. And so,
what novel is it?
It's End of Watch.
Okay.
It's the third in the Mr. Mercedes trilogy. I don't know if there's a name for the trilogy, but the second book's Mr. Mercedes. Or was the first book? Mr. Mercedes. I don't know. Anyway, so Kaya's been running around the house. She's not crate trained and she's not kitchen trapped anymore. We just let her run around the house while we're at work, and she's been fine. She's had zero accidents. She hasn't chewed up anything. She's gotten in the garbage like twice and maybe gotten like a paper towel or something. And then we went to bed Friday night, and so Raylene's looking at the bookshelf, and she's like, I should probably move those bookshelves into my office, which I keep the door closed, just in case Kai ever, you know what, fuck it. She hasn't touched any books in the last month. Obviously, she doesn't care about books. And at 1 in the morning, she wakes up, and of all the books on the bookshelf, and books, there's literally books on the floor. There's a pile of books just on the floor that I would just piss on. They're all like nickel books from Half Price Books. I don't fucking care. But Kaya took the time and effort to find the one first edition autographed Stephen King novel and just destroy it. Absolutely fucking eat it. But I think it's salvageable. Because, so, she chewed up 90% of the book. But she chewed up the back 90% of the book. And the first page is autographed. And the thing with hardcover books is that the first, like, 40 pages are 20 sheets of paper folded in half and glued into the spine. And then the next 40 pages are 20 sheets of paper folded in half and glued in the spine. And they're in chunks like that. That's why as you're reading, the bend of the spine, like, changes every once in a while because you're actually hitting a new chunk. And sometimes you'll even see that seam between chunks. So I'm going to see if we can... Not me, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but go to a book surgeon and see if they can excise that first section, and then we just buy another copy of the book, and they surgically implant it into that copy of the book.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a terrible idea.
It's got to be possible, right?
I know Amanda did some bookbinding for a while, too, but I don't know if she would want to do it. Or not want to, but be able to do it.
Yeah.
But she'd at least be... I might be able to tap her and see if we can find someone for you.
I mean, at least verify that I'm right about the anatomy of a hardcover book.
Like, yeah, because I thought it's just like wax or hot glue or something that sticks those pages in. So you probably could just like pull it right out and slap it back in.
I know soft covers are just straight up hot glue because I do soft cover binding at work.
Mm-hmm.
And hardcovers, I think, are the same thing. They have the soft glue binding to that fabric inner spine that's flexible because the outer spine isn't flexible. And so if the paper was direct onto that, they would just rip out every time you open the book because it can't bend.
Yeah.
So I think it's salvageable.
Well, the other thing you could do, too, is you could always get another one and have them sign it again.
Sure, that's just
easy. Yeah, send him the photo. Be like, hey, Stephen King.
Yeah, that's big. We could just take a picture and like flag him on Twitter and be like, hey, look, our own little thing of evil got into our book.
Do one of those dog-shaming photos where you like hang the sign on him.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome. It's like my parents traveled all the way to Colorado to get this book signed.
New Mexico. Yeah.
And I ate it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, people have mentioned this, but I'm going to call around some used bookstores and the college libraries and stuff and find out where I have to find like that 90-year-old man who's been hand-binding books since, you know, the 20s.
Or some hipster.
Or some hipster, too.
But, I mean, the only thing I'm thinking about that is that might be more expensive than actually getting a new copy of the book and basically seeing if he'll just sign it for you guys.
Well, sure. But
it's also probably symbolic of the trip, too. I mean, there's probably some sentimentality on it.
My brother pointed out that not many people have half-chewed-up autographed copies of the book, so it's actually more valuable now
because
it's
more unique. There's less of them, yeah.
But I mean, you could also just buy an autographed copy from that same tour for like $500. So I could just do that.
Oh, but, Jesus. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that exact like literally other people from the same convention are selling their copies and they're like $500
okay.
on eBay. Yeah.
Okay, so that's basically people who had it autographed. Okay, so he might, well, probably not if people are selling it for that much.
It's just funny because we brought back, we had that and we had a Joe Hill autograph book and we had a Neil Gaiman autograph book and we had a George R. R. Martin autograph book. And the thing is none of them were autographed in person by the person. They all were, you know, they're autographed.
Yeah.
And the King one was just issued. Like everybody got a free copy and like 20% of the copies were autographed.
Sure.
And someone was actually super generous because Raylene's a member of a Stephen King fan club, and we got two non-autographed copies, and one of her friends from that fan club and his wife got two autographed copies, and so they traded one non-autograph for an autograph just so that, you know, we would have that as a trip. So that was super generous of them, and then our dog fucking ate it. But the what is the other three books? We just they were just selling like stacks of autograph books and like at face value because these guys just sign a million books and say fuck it. Because George R. R. Martin's movie theater in Santa Fe, he just has a whole bookstore in there where literally every single book is autographed by the author and they're all just sold at face value.
Hmm.
Like he's like he has 50 copies of every Joe Hill book and like 50 copies of every one of his books and just fuck it, they're all signed.
Hmm. Interesting.
True story.
Yeah. But I mean, so it's not to kill her. So it's it's not a take the dog out outside type
I
deal.
Remind her on many an occasion that I have a 1 year warranty on that bitch.
You just like sit there and watch Old Yeller
just,
with it
and when, just stare at her meaningfully. Yeah, when we bought her, the Amish guy's like, I know this is a lot of money, so if anything goes wrong within the next year, you know, we'll get you a new dog. I think he meant like hip dysplasia or, you know, epilepsy or something. But I think book eating is right fucking up there.
She's an albino, right?
She's not an albino.
Oh, she's just white.
No, she's just white. White.
Okay, because I was like, I knew that it was a white dog, but I never paid attention enough to know if it was. And I know if it was albino, I'd probably have a lot more health problems in the future.
But German Shepherds have hip dysplasia issues in general. Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, I don't know what side of 50% chance it's on, but it's an extremely common issue that they get bad hips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think it's like, you know, some breeds have like 99% chance of, or even 100, like a pug is always going to have breathing problems just because their face is all fucked up.
Yeah.
But I mean, German Shepherd hips aren't at that level, but they're definitely not at a 1 in 100.
Mm-hmm. Dachshunds have back problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, those legs are this far apart. What's supporting the middle? The answer is nothing.
Yep.
Like, unless from infancy you get them a little, like, unicycle that you just prop under their tummy, which would be great.
The little wiener dog wheel. Unfortunately, I've never had much interest in dogs.
Yeah.
I think I would get an English bulldog, though. I think that'd be legit.
No, I would go full on hipster. I would get a French bulldog because those things look fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're adorable.
As in full on hipster, because I think that's what Alex has.
I think Alex has it, then yeah.
He's the hipsteriest of hipsters. Yeah. Like, that's how you check.
Yep.
I also thought about a Mastiff once, like that would have been cool, and then I realized that I'd have to get a second job to feed it.
Just feed it books? That's what we do.
Made on recycled paper.
Irreplaceable books.
I don't think I've had anything irreplaceable ever destroyed.
Yeah.
Can't think of one thing.
There was a little friend. She also put two tooth marks into my copy of Sam and Max Hit the Road, the whole collection of the original Sam and Max comics, but just two tooth marks, so it wasn't wrecked.
Mm.
That's also...
Those are character bite.
That is also marks. Probably the second most valuable book I have, because King's the most, but that one I think is still like $100-something on Amazon for the Sam and Max collection.
Yeah.
It's out of print, and Sam and Max are awesome.
For a short period, I think I was interested in collecting like first edition old English books, but then I just realized it was far too expensive and not worth my time.
I guarantee those are the only two books I own that are worth more than their cover price. Like, I'm not a book collector. It just happens that we have a couple books that are either autographed or out of print.
Yeah.
And she happened to get to those two.
Well, that's cool.
I think my most valuable book that I own is probably the Mankind's Have a Nice Day. Have you ever read that?
I have an autographed copy.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a very, very solid book for be considered an amateur writer at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's an autobiography, and he probably had help, but it really does not feel like it's ghostwritten. Like, it really feels like he wrote it, and you can feel that amateurishness, whatever that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, no, if I had infinite money, the only book I'd really care is I would want to get the earliest possible copy. Like, outside of a museum, it's not possible to get, like, a first edition because it's, like, a 1,300-year-old book or whatever. But The Three Kingdoms, that, like, all the Romance of the Three Kingdoms and Dynasty Warrior book games and stuff are based on. Sure. I love that actual story, and I would love to get, like, you know, the 600 AD copy of that. But that ain't happening.
So, not to shift to a place where people might be uncomfortable, but I figure, like, since we've been...
Talk about War Machine?
Yeah. Time.
Since we've been buried...
Your can take over for me.
Yeah. Since we've been playing Mark III for a little bit, have you guys, in your factions, like, ended up picking up units that you never thought you would... Or units or models or just anything in general that you never thought you would have picked up at face value from the new editions rules?
I picked up... there in Mercenaries specifically, there's a... the Horgenhold artillery crew.
You mean that, like, looking at the Mark III rules, you thought, yeah, I will not, like, buy this, yeah, whatever, and then it turns out, okay, yeah, not like a shift from 2 to 3, exactly, but, like, from 3 to later in 3. Yep.
Now that you have a little bit more of an educated view on the, because I think, me personally, I definitely have upwards of 50, at least 50 games under my belt already. So there's just a lot of things that have shifted my perspective since I first started.
Well, For me, actually, then it's not the Horgenhold artillery crew. It's actually been nothing I've picked up in Mercenaries because I already owned everything.
Well, I just mean like something that hits the table,
like something you looked at and marked, like when the rules first dropped and you excitedly flipped through your whole faction. Something that you went, well, that sucks, but now you're actually playing it because it turns out it doesn't suck.
No, honestly, there really isn't anything I've that I've really switched out with my Mercenaries before.
Well, I feel spoiled because minions are shockingly good in Mark III.
Yeah, you're ripe with good choices.
Like, so the only possibility is if it turns out the Gatorman Posse is good, which is doubtful. But if I start fielding the Gatorman Posse, that would be my answer. I haven't fielded this list yet, but I did put Blythe and Bull into a list. And I'll see how they go, because now that I have access to gators, well, not just gators, because Blythe and Bull wouldn't work for minions in the first place, but there's several debuffs. Like, we have Crippling Grasp in one, we have Calamity in another, we have Parasite in a third, and I think they're a prey unit.
They are,
yep. You know, and a prey unit, just like the Brigands, a prey unit with a prey ranged unit with a Parasite caster can get a lot of work done, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot of stinky stuff.
So, it hasn't hit the table yet, but I do have a Caliban list that has double Brigands and Blythe and Bull, so it's 3 ranged prey units, and then he can move Parasite around, and I'm interested to see how that blows shit off the table.
You can throw a Totem Hunter in there, too, for good measure.
Yeah,
a scalpel unit.
I think I might have thrown that in there just because at that point I was legally obligated to, because I had all the other prey in there.
Just gotta make it work. For me, recently, like, it's been the Black Frost Shard. Like, in Mark II, I never really messed with them a whole lot. Like, it was just beast, beast, beast all the time, let's do beasts. And then it was Ogryn. But I think, like, with the amount of heavies, the amount of heavies that we see now, it's not just skews, but even like the two or three extra that you see in most lists, it seems like they're just like a perfect unit for what Legion. They're not perfect yet, but having a damage buff and a hit fixing spell on them is amazing. Plus they're Pow 9 weapon masters that are pretty speedy, so like they just get, no matter what, they've been printing money for me when I've had them on the table. If they had Hunter's Mark, I would completely be in heaven with them, because that's the one thing that I think Legion misses, other than what casters bring for threat projection and the Seraph brings with Slipstream. So that's the unit that I've just been like crazy about lately.
I do have one. If we take unit and use it as a generic term to refer to any model/unit,
yeah, exactly,
a la Warhammer, there is one that I thought I was tabling because it had been taken from a, oh my god, it's Christmas and birthday all rolled into one and we got access to it, to a supplanted garbage one, which was the Gorax.
Mm-hmm.
The Gorax in Mark, like when we got that theme force and Arcadius could take Goraxes, it was fucking amazing. But what they did in Mark III is the Battleborn and the Gorax have nearly identical stat lines. They have the exact same point cost, the exact same animus, and the the Battle Boar can be forced to gain Berserk and Overtake, whereas the Gorax can't.
Yeah.
So it's like, and the Battle Boar is one higher armor. So it's one higher armor, and it can be forced for Berserk and Overtake, neither of which are true of the Gorax.
Same points. Okay.
Same threshold, same mat, same defense. The only thing, like, so it just seemed like, why the hell would I ever take a Gorax? Like, all the casters can take a Battle Boar, only Arcadius can take the Gorax, and the Gorax is worse. But the Gorax does have two things going for it. One that's more subtle than the other, but it has plus one strength, which mm-hmm. is nice. So there's minus one armor, but it's plus one strength, so that's kind of a wash. But it still has the charge, slam, power attack for free when damaged. And I've found that we have a lot of infantry control, but the one extra damage and the extra attack you're going to get out of having that free charge or whatever, it's really good in a meta that has a lot of jacks and beasts.
Yeah.
So the Gorax gets a lot more work done. One. So it's going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 attacks, each with plus one damage. So that's 5 extra damage, more than 5, because that's a whole extra attack in addition to the plus 4 damage it's getting by having an extra damage on the other 4 attacks. So that was my big one. I almost just like threw them all in a dumpster, and then I was like, wait a second, maybe it's worth it.
Well, and Battle Boars are Fury 4 also?
They're both Fury 3.
The Gorax went down to three. Okay, gotcha.
That's the thing. The Gorax went down to 3, so it lost that edge even. It's really just, it has one strength versus the one armor, so that's a trade, and then it has the free charge instead of the force for Berserk and Overtake.
Okay.
Apart from that, they're literally identical.
Yeah, that's,
every other stat is the same.
It's interesting how that's kind of, I know like the precedent has been set that it's an option, but it seems like in a lot of the factions that I've been looking at, they're just... The auto includes are there, even though they said they tried to eliminate them and then backed that statement down a little bit. But it definitely seems like there's auto excludes in certain factions. Like Legionnaires and Legion, I cannot envision many circumstances where I would ever want to take them instead of Blighted Mist Swordsmen or Grotesques if I want a cheap unit. Like they just like Defense 12, armor 17, and in wall of steel with vengeance, with pow 10 reach weapons, just seems infinitely inferior to a range 1 pow 11 weapon master with.
Yeah, but I mean that's basically that's night and day as compared to Mark 2 for them as well, because in Mark 2 you that's who you took. You took Legionnaires, and the swordsmen were pretty crappy because they didn't have the range that the Legionnaires had.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess. That's maybe what they were trying to push for, is trying to push...
If they were doing a rotation of things, yeah, then I can see that too happening. Like, the rotation from Winter Guard infantry to rifles.
Ugh, yeah.
That's insane.
Like, yeah, it's basically give all the good things that you took in Winter Guard and just, you know, give it to the riflemen.
Being able to attach the rocketeers to them.
Yeah. Well, the biggest rule was CRA. When they got that, they became infinitely better than the Winter Guard, like and losing the defense buffs also hurt them too. But like now, it doesn't seem like it's even a question whether you take Winter Guard Rifle Corps or Nis. The more people play Trenchers, you might want to take your Nis, but the Rifle Corps just seem leaps and bounds better.
Someone in chat wants to know what Creel Warriors do apart from being a mass of bodies. But isn't that all they ever did was be a mass of bodies?
No. Their prayer used to be like you can either get plus two movement in Pathfinder or not. Maybe Pathfinder just came from the
just plus two movement
the deal. But they also got plus two mat.
It was plus movement or plus two mat. Yeah,
huge because they were so cheap and they did so much work and they were so versatile.
Standard make them still no knockdown.
No, it gives them rise.
Okay,
it's really bad. But they're really all they are right now are bodies, the medium bodies that you throw in. Like it's not that they're rancid.
They're cheaper than Fenblades.
I think they're the same cost.
If they're the same cost as Fenblades, then they are pretty much outshined.
The one thing that you would bring a Creel Warrior or Creel Warrior unit for would be the Caber Tosser. But his weapon is only one use now. It's one use only. That's it. And it lost the crit slam or crit smite. Or not even crit smite. I think it was just smite. But it's just a one and done weapon.
I liked it in Mark 1.
I don't know what it did.
In Mark 1, it was one and done, but you either did a straight line 6-inch, like, auto hit everything because you just rolled it ahead of him, kind of like Purge, but just like in a straight line.
Yeah.
Or you did a POW 20 attack to one thing within melee range because you just dropped it on somebody.
That's pretty cool. But they don't even have a weapon to replace that. Like they don't come with a hand weapon. So once they use that, he's just a doofus sitting there doing nothing.
You know.
So the Creel warriors, they're bodies, but the Fen blades are just better. They outclass them.
No, the Creel warriors are cheaper.
But when you put the UA and the cabers,
well, you're
in there,
doing that with both of them.
You're also dealing with more bodies.
But the Fen blades only come with one attachment, and the amount of rules on that card, the text that you get on that is insane. Like they get cleave and
no quarter
as well. Like it's just huge. There's
no quarter is huge because it gives them fear and fearless.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Great to get both of those.
Those are mandatory in this edition.
Yeah. Speaking of troll units, though, I want to. Unless Andy had an answer to your, you said you didn't. You said everything mercs is great right off the bat.
Yeah, mercs are in an everything is awesome mode.
Speaking of troll units,
that's wrong. It has single shot. After an attack with this weapon is resolved, this model cannot make another attack with it for one round.
Oh, I thought it was for the entire game.
No, so it's not different. Like a renegade.
Okay, no. So that was
just
can't
me make
going.
Free strikes after hitting you with the cannon.
It also can't make like bonus attacks with Madrak.
It just takes him around to pick it back up.
Gotcha. So whatever. I just read it too fast, but yep. I still just don't see the efficacy of the unit anymore.
You take 30 of them and go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I did with Gristle's Theme Force because they got hoof. Like
hoof
all
on
Creel,
turn one.
All Creel warrior units got hoof at turn one. So you'd go, they'd all run and hoof it, and then turn two, she'd feet and hoof it, and they'd be literally in your opponent's deployment zone, like 38, you know, tough no knockdown assholes. And it's like, okay, the scenario is a foot and a half behind them. I win.
I think
it was hilarious.
I think one of the things that happened to me in my assessment of trolls when I first looked at them is that I got into the bad mindset that I think a lot of people are still in right now, where I kept comparing them to Mark II. So, like, Creel Warriors lost so much. But I'm trying to look at other factions, the ones that I'm playing more frequently now, just as Mark III. I'm not trying to do any comparison. It's really hard, but I'm just trying to look at them for what they are, and I'm still finding myself bringing three Shepherds just because herding so good. But I think that's where my initial assessment was with trolls, was I just kept doing a cross compare and really fucked me over.
Do Shepherds have herding now?
They still have.
Mark II Shepherds did not have herding. Shepherds had Beastmaster, which is a worse version of herding.
Yeah, I think they
so
just have herding
it was a misnomer. I remember because I mentioned that Targ could do something, and Andy thought I was lying and cheating because Shepherds couldn't do that thing.
No, they still have Beastmaster.
That was back in my my Legion
This
days.
Model can force friendly faction War Beast in its command range as though it were the battle group commander.
Shepherds don't have herding because herding is that, and you can leech and reeve off.
Correct.
It's literally like for all purposes, basically, except Animus casting, I think. It doesn't grant you.
Correct.
But
I was like, what?
Shepherds don't herd.
you can reeve that shit? But son of a... What?
But no, what I was going to say, as far as troll units, because I've been blowing some people's minds with this for the last week or so, because it hadn't really occurred to me until somebody else brought it up, and I want to share it with the world so that people aren't surprised by it, is the new field promotion rules, by new, just, you know, Mark III. If the leader models, so officers died, RFP, doesn't matter, leader model takes over, good for it, you know, just like normal. But if a leader model is destroyed, you promote a grunt to be the new leader. Mm-hmm. And they also got rid of the no attacks for the rest of the turn.
Yes, kind of.
They can't make their combat action attack, but they
Correct.
Can still make free strikes and stuff.
Yep. So if they
died,
you
used to be
able
to snipe out until they promoted a guy, and then that guy couldn't make a free strike, so you could just move away from him.
Correct.
But that's gone. But the big thing now is if they're destroyed, you promote a grunt. If they're RFP'd, you declare a grunt to be the unit commander. No more leader model.
Correct.
You do not field promote.
Yeah.
RFP the Creel Stone.
Mm-hmm.
RFP a Stormblade captain who has the glaive that gives +2 to damage and everything. RFP Crow.
Yeah.
RFP any leader model and watch how sad the unit is.
I just don't... Mm-hmm. When I first heard about that, I just didn't... I know that in the book it's outlined that that's the way it's supposed to work, but I just can't understand
why
they'd want that to happen.
I have no idea why. It makes no sense at all. Mm-hmm. Zero sense at all to me.
Especially in the game they're trying to promote as being like a fun.
It's just a weird little exception. It doesn't even make sense fluff-wise because, like, you know, Steve got shot in the head. I better pick up the stone he was carrying because it's important to my people. Versus Steve just got eaten by a tassel worm. Eh, fuck the stone.
Yeah.
Why?
The interaction for the promotion actually ran into a game yesterday.
Did it?
It was had a whole bunch of Doom Reavers, and I was setting fire to as many Doom Reavers as possible because they were all immune to blast damage.
Sure.
So shooting Durgan,
setting everything on fire.
Set everything on fire, and so on his turn, he had Doom Reavers that died, and so they got field promoted, which means that they actually could not, during the turn that they were field promoted, cannot have a combat action.
Sure. Well, that's the same as Mark II. It's just less extreme. Because in Mark II, they couldn't attack at all, which included free strikes.
Correct.
Now they just can't attack during their combat action.
Correct. You were talking about before is where they, you know, you have one guy that's engaging something, you could snipe off the rest of the unit, and then you could just walk away from them.
That was always a mean trick. That was... Yeah.
Surprise.
It felt good, though. It's like, oh, that guy's engaging Iris. Well, I'll shoot his buddy. All right. Then I'll shoot that other buddy. And I'll shoot that guy. Oh, he's in charge now. Bye. Yep.
No, I there are some things that I, after playing as long as or as many games as I have, that I don't like about the new edition, and like maybe more of it's so is like feeling like a lot of the fluff got turned into rules.
Yeah.
But all in all, I really don't mind the edition at all. I just think that it needs a little bit more time in the oven, and the only thing is that like we're in the oven with it right now.
The thing I keep saying to people, and you know, I'm in the middle of a big argument on several different forums about this because forums are terrible, and everybody on all the forums is all fucking terrible. But there were things I didn't like about Mark I. There were things I didn't like about Mark II, and there's things I don't like about Mark III. But the problem is these people have the mindset where they see the things they don't like, and that's all they fucking focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and the example I used in the PG forum is I said, you would have a very valid point. Like, I'm not dismissing any complaints you have, you know? You know, it sucks that mobility went up to 3, so Xerxes can only have 1 transfer he casts mobility, you know, and does this. Spoiler, Carver gets 0 fucking transfers if he casts his spells and upkeeps 1, but whatever. Point is, maybe it would be better if he had Escort, because then he has the same armor buff he used to have, they blah, blah, blah. Oh, valid, sure. And maybe Gatsby got nerfed too much. Maybe this is that and that, and they're all valid points. But if we go to Disney World together, and we're on a trip or Disneyland, whichever you prefer, and the whole time we're there, all you do is fucking talk about, oh, it's too crowded, oh, the food is too expensive, oh, it's too hot. Shut the fuck up. We're in Disneyland.
Yep.
Like, there's Magic Mountain right there, and there's Goofy and Gaston. Let's go get our pictures taken.
No, stop. There's no Gaston because he was not included.
What?
Gaston was not included.
The point is, Gaston's my favorite hero of all the Disney movies. But the point is...
Also, the actors that play Gaston as well. There's awesome. There was that one that was the best in the world.
I loved when he told the little girl that she should go make him a sandwich, and people were bitching and moaning about, he should have done that to a little girl, like, that's going to give her bad. He's the villain, you idiots. Anything he says, she will go immediately and say, oh, that's a terrible thing. So he should be a sexist asshole. But the point is, shut up. Like, you're right.
Yeah.
The food's too expensive. You're right. The line for Splash Mountain's too long. But guess what? So what? Like, it's such minor complaints, and these people are so obsessed with the complaints, they can't see all the good shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this apple has a bruise on it. It's a delicious apple. Shut the fuck up.
Cut off the bruise.
Cut off the bruise, or just eat the bruise. It's a small bruise. It's not full of, you know, poison. No,
it's poison.
Just shut up and eat your fucking apple.
It is a lot easier to talk about the things you don't like in the game more so than the things you do like, but if you keep that, if you just think of that from your, like, your concentrated meta area, like... Some people might be returning to the game, and once they hear people bitching and moaning about that, it might scare them away again, so you, like, miss out on that opportunity to have another player in.
Or not even returning, but just coming to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about how many, like, yes, Krix is not the powerhouse they were last edition. Maybe Krix is the weakest faction now. That might be true. But they're not unplayable shit, and I worry about how many new players almost... pick up War Machine, they look at these cool skelly mans, and then some veteran players are like, those guys fucking suck, Krix is garbage, they're fucking terrible, and that game's fucking terrible. And then they set it down and walk away.
Yeah.
Or I think I've experienced a few players who ended up just by happenstance slip into a really good faction like Rhett players. And when you constantly bitch and moan about how Rhett's OP and you can't beat it, it probably scares them away from wanting to play certain casters or play the game in general. Yeah. So I think I was definitely guilty of that when I first started. I could do nothing but bitch about Rhett. And then I think it just took a little while to realize that I should probably just like enjoy the moment and think, see how things will turn out later. I think I'm experiencing it now more so with Legion now that I've been putting two Hellmouths on the table frequently, and people just lose their shit unless they're a Kador player.
Is that thing actually official?
Yep.
Yeah, it's out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know if it was sold in stores yet.
It came out like the week after Gen Con.
Pegasus, fancy enough, has like 20, I'm not shitting you, 20 of them on their shelf.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you. And they've got like two Legion players. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, slightly too many.
I will have to go and take a look at that, because that's one of the things that Peg needs to take care of is some of their ordering.
Yeah, because you know how they have like the rows of just the one little stick that you put mm-hmm. on that slat wall?
Nothing but Hellmouths?
It's two of them that are just full Hellmouths.
A little overkill. They're good models, but that's a little overkill.
It sounded like what the deal was is that their distributor said, like, we're running out of these, so if you want them, you should get them now. And somebody probably over-ordered.
That's probably what happened. We should help out Pegasus in that
when terms. Mark 1 turned to Mark 2, I had to talk Lori down because she was going to order like 15 Necrosurgeons. And like, they're good. Everybody's going to buy one. You don't need 15 of them.
They bought 10 of the, I think, of the Merc Jack kit as well. And I'm like, you don't need that many. I mean,
you do now.
Mark 3, yes, you'll probably sell them now for rovers, but
sure.
back when they were originally released, it was not worth it.
Widowmakers are a good example too. Order on demand only.
Yep.
Maybe keep one in the store.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess another subject I should bring up too, and who knows, you might be a victim of it, or you might be a person that's instigating it. Stop cherry picking opponents at game stores on game night. Just go down and play with whoever. Somebody. It's
there's Jordan. Don't play against Jordan.
Correct. Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, Jordan won't play with you because if you take too much time, he just won't play with you. So. Sure. But I mean, we have an issue here where some folks are just, they will only play with certain other people because they know that they can win the game. And unfortunately, a lot of times that person that's doing all the crushing is doing it to all brand new people that are coming into the store.
Keith was complaining to me about how for a while he just could not get a game. Like, no one would play against him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, oh, blah, 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 I'll go play against him. Just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Play against Keith?
I know.
Maybe I'll lose, maybe I'll win. I don't give a shit.
Since I'm more on the outside ring of what the Madison core would really be, my experience when I go to Pegasus is, I cannot get a fucking game to save my life because everybody's chatting in the middle. Like, every single one of those fuckers brought their models, wants to play a game, and I'm sitting here, I'm just like, okay, well, I'd like to play, but nobody's setting anything up. I set up a table and wait, and nothing happens.
I have, I literally now just will walk up to somebody and say, hey, we're going to play a game?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, I don't even, like, ask. I just, like, go, you know. Or what I'll do, there will be three people. And so I'll walk up and they'll say, okay, hey, Dan, Jeff, you two, why don't you two play a game? And then Josh and I can play a game.
Okay, and then we'll just go off.
I have been soccer momming Baraboo lately because they kind of slip into the same habit where mm-hmm. I get there a little later than everyone else and they're just sitting around shooting the shit. And I'm like, okay, Janesville people are going to be here in a half hour. So that means Zach and Dan, you guys can play against them when they show up. And then me and this guy are going to play because we haven't played in like 5 months.
Yep.
And
I do that too. Yeah. I'll be like, Dan and I just played last week. Mm-hmm. So why don't Dan and Jeff and Josh just played last week. So Dan, you play Jeff and I'll play Josh. And you know,
yeah. You gotta be that shepherd once in a while. You gotta get people, you gotta herd them into their games.
Well,
Brian and I used to do that a lot. And Nathan did too, but we've been lax about that since.
Well,
since middle of Mark II.
Yeah.
Madison's meta now is so much bigger than what it was 2 years ago, right?
Well, and I've been spinning two plates with that for the last couple months because what I've also been doing is I've been counting how many of those people are playing in the Journeyman League.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's an odd number, then I break out my Journeyman League list to make it an even number. And if it's an even number, I break out a 75 point list and play with the quote unquote big boys or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, I wanted to make sure that there was never somebody sitting out who was playing in the journeyman league because there was an odd number of opponents.
Mm-hmm. This is maybe another part to the play etiquette on your game nights or whatever. But I have some run into some people who are staying away from power casters because they're power casters.
No.
Fucking play that shit.
You are doing a disservice to your
exactly. meta. Not one person in our entire meta knew what a Hellmouth was until I started putting them on the table. And Kane, we have a bazillion Kane or Signar players, but not one fucking person's put Kane 2 on the table in the last 3 months. I think it's also important to strengthen your meta by playing those dickhole lists. Like, first of all, you get to live the dream and see what it's like to play a power pairing. And the second part of it is that your opponents get to see it and learn how to figure it out.
Correct. Like, I know I will not win the next tournament I play outside of Madison. Mm-hmm. I 100% will lose that tournament. And I mean, there's any number of reasons, but I know at the very least the guaranteed reason I for sure will fail is that I have no idea how to beat Wyrmwood.
Yeah.
I can theory machine it all day long, but I have never seen Wyrmwood in person, Mark III. Nobody in our area plays him. Mm-hmm. We have like one circle player, and he plays other janky stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's not because he... John just chooses to play whatever the fuck he wants to play.
He doesn't care, you know. So it's not that he's avoiding Wyrmwood. He just, you know, whatever. But the point is, I'm fucked because we don't have somebody in our meta that's shoving Wyrmwood down my throat to the point where I need to learn how to deal with him.
Yep. Ethan's been a great boon in that state because, like, he plays Circle and Rhett. So I've just, like, I've gotten all of the run through with all of those. I think people definitely need to get into that mode and then just figure out how to beat it.
I'll say this for it wasn't a Wednesday night, so I didn't get a chance to play it, but I did get to play against Haley One in the tournament on yesterday, and that was probably my most enjoyable tournament running I had, even though I had played against the same person like a year ago as well, basically with the same list in Mark One or Mark Two, and it was that time it was one of my most hated games. This time it was a very strategy. There was a lot of strategy that was put into the game itself.
Yeah,
so there was a lot of pre-measuring, a lot of things, making sure I was out of there. Like I knew his chain lightnings were going to do horrible things to my support things. So next to my Earthbreaker, I parked one of the little gun bunnies. So he was the first target to the chain lightning.
Yep.
So he's probably not going to be damaged by it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was probably my most enjoyable game yesterday. And that was because I had previous experience with it. So even though you take on the tough casters, just learning it will help your game out.
Yeah, it'll definitely shore up some things. I think one of the other things we're talking about doing in Baraboo is that it's one thing for one person to play a half hour to 2 hour game, depending on how horribly they get destroyed, but it's another for everyone else to get that experience. It might take, like, you know, a month to roll through everybody and say, okay, this is how Evail gets you on the top of one. Mm-hmm. But we were thinking about trying to organize just to, like, after the game we always go over to Monk's and eat burgers and shit. So I was thinking about afterwards just having, like, one of our tables, one of our many tables that we put together that's dedicated to, here's a player who plays this power caster, and they're going to explain exactly what they do and how they get you. Yeah. Kind of like, a seminar, basically, where you just, like, get together and say, okay, here's how this works.
That's a good idea.
And just throw it out there. It seems like it sounds kind of cheesy at first, but if you don't understand some of these threat ranges, especially when you get to Legion, when you start talking about Lilith 3 and Veil 2 and what they can, how they can reach out and touch you, like, if you're a Wyrmwood player and haven't thought about that thought about either of those casters, you absolutely need to, because if you drop that into them,
if they kill Cassius top of one,
yep, straight up happens.
And in the killback scenario,
my thing was, like, I played it out and I was 2 points from breaking both stones and killing Cassius. It wasn't a killback scenario, but that was. That was probably bottom of one, but I still, like, if I do that,
if it was a killback scenario, you automatically win.
I just sit there, and I think it's important for other players to know that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. Is if you have somebody that would be considered a quote unquote high caliber player with high caliber army,
and you don't even have to be high caliber.
Like, you can be like, just if you know why that caster's good, like anybody who just,
or
like,
if you know the formula for whatever kind of jank I'm not, you're gonna throw.
Not to be offensive, but I don't think you would think you are like War Machine Weekend WTC champion caliber S tier player, but you sure as fuck could tell us what you do as Durgan,
or
you
or
could
Exelon,
explain. Yep. The concept of what you would do and why and how. We do that all the time. And for somebody who's never faced them, even a mid to low high tier, you know, competitive but not world champion player, that's useful fucking information. In fact, if you're the only person playing Durgan in our meta, even if you suck at the game, as long as you're not a complete drooling idiot who's playing wrong, it's still useful to hear the spell list and what you're doing with it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of game or casters out there. I don't think I've teased it apart so much in this edition, maybe I have, like with Strakoff and some of the Legion casters, but some of that stuff is really convoluted and hard to see. Like, if you put anything within 10 inches of Strakoff, your cast is probably going to die. So those are good things to go over. It's just an interesting thought exercise.
We also are over now. Ironically, I just looked at our Zappity Grumbles, and one of them was asking, why do you always say we should wrap this up after an hour? But that reminded me that we're over an hour, and we have a shitload of Zoopity Floopities. So
no, don't call them that way.
Oh, no.
That's treading into other podcast that's territory.
That's an intellectual property right there.
Yeah. Cool. We don't want to be yelled at.
If somebody does a knockoff of you, and then you knock off their knockoff...
Yeah.
It depends on who stamped it first.
We stamped it. We stamped it long ago, basically, with Nathan's inability to understand thunder and lightning.
No, it was not my inability. It was your, I guess, saying that the lightning makes the zappity sound. And then, that's why we added the grumble.
I think.
But if you just had a soundboard in your basement of the house we lived in at the time, we could have had actual sound effects for our lightning round.
Yeah.
Did that screen turn pink?
It might have shifted a little bit to
it's an
color.
Old monitor.
That looks very pink right now.
Yeah.
You should scroll up to what that guy's massive text dump was that he wanted to talk about something. I think it was factions balanced.
It was something about the Scorn, so we'll or Scorn guy not being here.
Without your resident Scorn expert handy, this may seem oddly out of place, but I've been playing Xerxes, do blah, 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 Scorn stuff, doing relatively well, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel there's a massive disparity in power level in factions, or is the difference between factions only likely to show itself at the highest levels of play and the average player less likely to take advantage or exploit the differences in power level? Well, it's just our factions balanced, right? And I think at entry level, the difference will show more.
Mm-hmm.
At mid level, it'll vanish. And then at the high level, it'll show up again.
Yeah, I think it's also...
But I also think they're relatively close.
I think they're fairly relatively close.
Like, Travis was playing Krix yesterday, right?
Yep.
And Krix got second in a 24-man tournament yesterday.
Correct.
With a strength of schedule 6.
With a strength of schedule 6.
Yeah. Hey, I had a strength of schedule of 10, and I was 1-3.
I just had to throw that out there. But no, like, I think I agree with you that the balance is close. There are little gaps, but when you get into like the best and the worst, I think that's where the gap is going to be a little bit more present. And it's hard to look at the game.
Because new players don't know how to counter stuff. So, like, a new rep player against a new Krix player will just blow them off the fucking table.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the high level, when you know all the tricks, the stronger factions will be able to abuse those tricks more. And in the middle, where you're all good, decent enough to understand the game, is where you're mostly going to be able to kind of polish that away, I think.
Yeah. I also think that War Machine has a unique social system to it, where, like... people, especially when Mark III first came around, a lot of players, and I don't know what the exact percentage was, whatever I say, it's probably going to be insulting, but there are definitely people waiting for someone to tell them what to play. And I think that a lot of these factions who have fallen to the wayside, Krix and Scorn being the big offenders, they only have either one or two champions that are really like hitting the vox on telling people, here's the stuff that works well, and usually they're telling you it's all okay. But I think Krix is the one that's missing someone championing their faction right now.
Yeah.
Like the Legion players, when Jake Van Meter and when the Blight Makes Right podcast hit, they finally had something to do and were talking about, here's the models I need to make this work. And it was so stimulated. But a week before that, it was crickets. And I think that's where a lot of the problems are, as far as the how people approach their faction.
I think like I've said for last week, couple of weeks here, is basically Crix, I think, just needs a fresh new mindset
when looking at
that. They're the most changed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think you're right.
They were the most changed because they needed to be the most changed, but it doesn't necessarily make them bad by any means.
All right. Oh, Can's answering there. All right, well, then we'll stick with the chat.
God damn it, Can.
He's drunk. What stupid sports would you want to see added to the Olympics?
I to be honest, it's not stupid, but honestly, I would like to see football. I think international football, like an actual NFL team, like whoever wins a Super Bowl or whatever Pro Bowl team they want to send to the Olympics. I like basketball. I want to see what an American football team would do to other countries.
Yeah, and then when we lose to like Zaire and or it's Russia. Just embarrassing.
I would love to see what a Russian football team
we
looks
would
like.
Lose to the Soviet Union. They would reform specifically to make a football team to beat us.
Plus, I want to see the fucking logos on the helmets though. Yeah. I think football would be interesting.
I think athletically, it's way more legitimate than fucking synchronized swimming, and I think it's just not in there because of tradition and stigma, but I would love to see pole dancing.
That would be an
interesting
one.
That shit is impressive.
Yeah, it's definitely gymnastics and showmanship put in there. Yeah, that'd
like
be really neat.
They could call it, you know, the single vertical pole or whatever they want to call it and just lump it in with gymnastics, but having seen some of the stuff those girls could do, and guys, fuck it, men's pole dancing, I don't care. That's some impressive athletic shit.
It is.
I mean, it's basically like almost like the like using rings or
men have the like rings. Women don't have something I think quite like that.
The
right
ribbon thing.
Yeah, exactly.
A ribbon.
But like, because they do the swinging and leaping on the uneven bars, but they don't have like the pole dancing is just raw physical strength.
Core strength, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just that core strength, and I don't think there's a lot that I'm just thinking of the women's events, and it's more about balance. You know, they don't show just the pure muscle that something like that does.
Well, in the same vein, you have like those...
dressage is fucking in it still. I forgot about that. Fucking horse riding.
I forget the name of it, but the on the same category, the ones where women dance in the drapes or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they've got the huge curtains that hang
down. Yep.
But for me, I think I'd be more interested in like... a Clark Griswold type going to Vegas competition, you know, like guess the number or guess which hand I'm holding this item in. Like that would be kind
of God. That is the best one is when he goes to the shady casino.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, and
what number am I thinking?
Someone
of?
In chat who doesn't come from Freedom Land is confused. We're not talking about soccer. We're talking about football. Football is a sport where people have an oblong ball and there's, you know, yards and touchdowns and field goals. It's what adults play while you're playing your shitty, corrupt FIFA garbage.
I did say that when I was talking about it in there. I said American football.
Yeah.
Which that, again, I would, or even, honestly, rugby I would like to see too, because rugby is violent. I want to see violence that's
well,
more so.
I was going to say, because Tort brought up field hockey, hurling. Fucking hurling. Mm-hmm. Good old Irish sport. Which is,
there was,
I think it's still all volunteers too, which is the crazy thing about hurling is that none of those psychotic people gets paid.
Caber tossing.
Any of the Highland sports.
As an Olympic sport, caber tossing. Because again, I would like to see other countries try to toss a caber.
I like to fuck with people's brains for caber because like my big trivia thing is like, do you know what a good distance throw in caber throwing is?
No.
There isn't. It isn't a distance-based sport.
It's height, yeah.
It's not a height-based sport.
I thought it was you had to get it over.
It has to flip.
Okay.
And then when it flips and lands, you think of a clock face. And the closer to 12 that the caber is, it's an accuracy sport.
Okay.
You're trying to flip it directly ahead. And if it angles off to the left or the right, your score goes down.
I think I'm just thinking of the days when I would stay home from school and watch the World's Strongest Man competitions where they'd hurl kegs behind
Magnus Vermagnussen.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Those are ESPN 2.
Yep.
Those are the best to watch late night. Yeah, I love those.
God. Oh, Zappity, I think.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have Facebook or Twitter? I have them both up on two windows on my phone. If you're still
going, go ahead.
Go. So Twitter, should I buy all of the Hellmouths to prevent Legion players from using them?
Not at Pegasus.
Yeah, you can't. They have too many. You'd go bankrupt trying to buy all of them.
I even bought one myself.
You need two.
I know, but I bought one.
One is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they do reprint them when they run out.
Yeah.
That's how things work.
Well, I talk to them about Gobber fucking tinkerers.
Do you guys remember Stroker and Hoop?
That was like a detective.
Yeah, it was on Adult Swim when it first started. It was actually legitimately great. But there's one episode where they get hypnotized into being in a gay porn, and so they have like their
what does this have to do with?
They have their sentient car. They tell it to buy all the copies to keep it off.
Sure.
And so then finally later at the end of the episode, it's like, it turns out they keep making more. We're on the fifth pressing, and he's just getting shipments and shipments of the porn because no matter how many he buys, they just make more copies.
Oh, God.
Zappity.
Never mind.
Weren't actually gay. It was called, like, sack. They just showed their... It was like Girls Gone Wild, but with scrotums instead of boobs. Oh. It was just, like, men just showing their sack out the bottom of their shorts. That show was great.
Hey, you want to see some gum?
Yep.
I sat in some gum. God, what was that where somebody kept on doing that, too?
It was me.
Oh, damn it.
Well, no, it was fucking... Jason Jizzbucket. Likes to show his testicles to people.
He does like
to
do that.
I taught him the gum trick that my elder brothers used to do to me. Scariest living thing and why?
This is last week's. Are you sure? Because I remember talking about that last week.
Oh, you're right. There were different ones for this week. Did we mention the horsehair worm?
No.
Fucking horsehair worm.
I hate earwigs. Can't stand them.
Yeah. God damn it, you're right. I was in the wrong thing. Yeah.
Only because
it seemed very familiar.
Oh yeah, did you not tweet for this episode?
Yep, I did.
Well, what the hell? God damn it, Twitter! All right, I'm going to Facebook. You figure out Twitter. Beef, pork, or chicken tacos? Also, black beans or pinto?
Should we just
change this to burrito? Because who the fuck puts beans in a taco?
Yeah, so, I'm more of a burrito. Beef.
No, I don't. No beans. No
beef,
beans.
No beans.
I will once in a while get beans, but generally no.
I was broken of beans when I'd have to like scrub pans with burnt on refried beans on them, and that's just the worst.
I carnitas pork is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't had that yet.
Oh my god, no! Next time you're at Chipotle, you get the carnitas. It's okay. so good. It's just the spice that is always worth it. And I like the pinto beans personally. Oh, here we go. I think I found new ones. Yeah, I found new ones. Mike the Lurker says, how do you dip your chips, dainty, moderate, or dip dump truck?
Dump truck. It depends on what I'm dipping into, but if I'm dipping into black bean dip, it is dump truck.
I'm moderate.
Black bean dip is amazing.
I'm a moderate person.
I'm bad at planning, so what happens is the first few I like literally just like dip straight down and whatever sticks. But then at the end of it, I'm like, I have crumbs left, and there's still like a third of a container of dip, and so I will literally like wad up crumbs and then scoop.
Those are the best ones. I do the same.
Shove that whole mess into my stupid fat gob.
I do the same thing when I want to feel like I'm in grade school again and buy Lunchable pizzas. There's always the first two are like they're a respectable pizza, but then that last one is like the Megazoid pizza, and you're just like a pound of sauce and the rest of the cheese on there, and it gets stuck on your beard. That's great.
The French onion dip, also with Ruffles. Basically, Ruffles are a delivery system for the French onion dip to my mouth.
French fries and ketchup.
I had a buddy in high school that's like that with French. He would get multiple trips out of one French fry, and not just like he would eat a third of it, like he would scoop, put it in his mouth, pull it back out, leaving the ketchup in his mouth, and then scoop again.
That's fucking creepy.
It is creepy.
I'll always eat my fries in pairs so that I can get more ketchup on them, but I would never fun dip a fry.
But I do, like at Taco Bell, when you get like the Nachos Bel Grande, and you're down to one chip, and there's at least 37 pounds of cheese and beef and refried beans left because you planned badly, and so you have to just balance it all on that one chip.
Yep, and then that should be the sport for Olympics.
Yes,
the last chip dip.
Good tie-in. Zappity.
Crumble.
I found the new Twitter. What do you feel about other games' mindsets coming across with new gamers? Recent increase in whining reminds me of 40K days.
I mean the game itself is a tough buy, a tough flow in, I guess. You're going to run into heavy things, so there are going to be complainers about there. It's just stick it out, play it some more, and once you learn the tricks and shenanigans the other players have, you know, your game experience will improve tenfold.
Well, bitching about games is like a pastime sport for gamers, really, too. Correct. Like, I remember 30% of my time while I was a 40K player was spent playing the game, and the other 70% was spent bitching about it.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's just something that happens.
Yeah. As Tort pointed out in our chat, 40K didn't invent whining.
Nope.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I feel like there are a large percentage of whiners that are always going to whine.
Yep.
Like, that is their real hobby, is whining.
Exactly.
And I even mentioned, like, the people, not all of them. I mean, again, there's legitimate decisions, and we all have our things we like and don't like about hobbies, and with new additions, things change. And so it's not just whiners leaving. That's fine. But of the people who quit and took their ball and went home and left Mark III and went to other games, 80% of those people a year from now are going to hate the games they're playing now.
And
they're going to switch to something else and hate that a year later, and switch to something else and hate that a year later, because some people focus so much on the negative that they're always going to hate whatever they're doing.
That's why you gotta stop doing this bitch and dump thing. You have to have a vacation game.
Yeah.
Like, there are just some times where you're like, okay, home game, I'm getting really tired of seeing the same shit. So you just have a little vacation game you go and play around with for a week or two, and then you come back because you're like, yep, I can vent now, and we've had our break and we're good.
And that's what, like, the people who, like, oh, yeah, I play Guild Ball 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, sure, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. And those people, by the way, don't bitch and fucking moan.
I think you just got zappetied by the can.
I think the can has some strong opinions on things.
He doesn't like games.
That's why it's called a can-do attitude.
What is he, a Mexican?
What are your favorite non-steamroller casual events for a non-competitive play group?
One thing that I'd like to see come back when I first started playing War Machine, it was a little bit more ever-present, but the Commander's Crucible thing, where you have like a fixed army, but then the battle group can change with each caster.
I did like Commander's Crucible. Brian loved Commander's Crucible. Yeah, in small part because at every convention he'd go, there would only be three people playing the Commander's Crucible event, so he'd win every time and get a plaque.
Well, and now that battle groups are better, subjectively, it would be really interesting to bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Are you going to state your biased opinion?
No, my biased opinion is basically I like... my favorite non-steamroller casual event for a non-competitive group is Who's the Boss?
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I heard it sucks. Yeah. Deal with that. Sucka. Okay, I'm sorry. Don't have to get your fucking muscle out here to threaten me.
Can doesn't like you.
Doesn't. Yeah, I don't really have one. Who's the Boss? It's good. Crime Group, they're good. Whatever. Fucking play games.
The Escalation ones are interesting, too.
Oh, yeah. The Escalation are cool. Those are still kind of steamroller-y.
They're steamroller-y at their core, but then, like, you get those extremes.
What they haven't done recently, but was kind of neat, was the Winter Stays. And just, you know, you just went and found another event, but that they had, like, the attrition.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if a unit was wiped out, then the next game it had two fewer models in it. Or if it had taken 50%, it had, like, one fewer model. And, like, Beast came back with, like, a damage in every column. And then if it died again, it came back with two damage in every column. Like, those were kind of neat.
Yeah.
Because eventually that person would lose a game, and then they'd be the challenger on another table. They were a little janky because since there was no timed turns, sometimes you'd be caught without a game for a little while. But
yeah,
I guess that's no different than if you finish your game early in a timed event and everybody else is playing for another 2 hours.
That was pretty much the only issue with it, is that you could have just somebody just kind of sitting around going and usually those events awarded the people with the most games.
Yeah, that is the thing, because with ones with rounds, it's the same thing. Like, if you finish a game on turn two, you're going to be sitting around for an hour and a half anyway, but you're right, playing the most games was a thing.
Yeah. I did like those. I love the idea of the attrition in the battle type thing. That was, I think Rick is talking about setting something up like that with a big castle siege of some sort with random forces, but he hasn't mentioned anything about that since. He's also building a meth lab.
Yeah, it's in the cooker along with it.
Along with his meth lab.
Yeah, Wormwood is strong, but is it broken strong? How would you handle Kara Sloan and the shooting meta in Circle? Those feel like two separate questions. So let's start with
Wormwood. Actually probably the more, like, Wormwood can protect himself against Kara Sloan pretty decent for a turn. I don't know what he does after. Like, she has to scalp every out the turn. Stone, I guess, is the big problem.
Well, like we discussed last week, is that Wormwood and Cassius by themselves make 10 inches of forest every single turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Kara Sloan can't deal with that.
No, that's the problem. But she can deal with the Sentry Stone has to make the forest centered on itself.
No. Just Wormwood and Cassius.
No, they do they do fertilizer to pop the forest up. But like the Sentry Stones, they can make,
so they
that
can
forest,
make it 16 inches.
Yeah, they can make it a little
by
wider
by adding. But
yeah,
like Cassius and Wormwood make 10 inches with nothing in the forest, so it's 100% safe.
But they have to have something to kill, and I think that's okay. Where it comes with that's where you get the Shamblers. So it's just some order of activation.
Yeah,
issue.
I mean,
but
you run
practice,
two random jackasses
it
up there. Yeah. And so they have a completely safe 10-inch wall, mm-hmm, all the time. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Kara Sloan already, I think she hasn't been answered per se, but I think volume of bodies or boxes, she just doesn't stand up to that very well. Like that's her issue.
I think Wormwood is near broken strong, but not game breakingly strong. Like Wormwood is like Mark II, Gatsby II, pre 37 nerfs, and Mark II, Haley II.
Yeah.
You know, those top casters that will just fucking annihilate you unless you know what you're doing. And in skilled players' hands, they're just like so brutal. Like he's one of those for Mark III, but I don't think he's that extreme that he's game ruiningly good. But he's sure fucking good.
He's the first meta bender we've seen, I think.
Meta bender's a good term.
And that's where like that there are answers to him, but they're also the casters that other people are bitching about too, like Irusk II. Counterfeits him, just shuts him down, and Kador has things with Tree Walker, so you can get through that and deal with those problems.
Tree Walker and his feet gets around all of his forests too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, hey, anybody in Hordes can, maybe not anybody, I guess I should double check what factions he plays for, but the Predator, he has the ability to see through forests when charging, and he has the leap as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if he prays Wormwood.
Well, you'd have probably prayed Cassius, but Wormwood's like armor 23?
My Cephalix would probably have no issues with it either, because a lot of my spells that I cast are all ignore line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
So I can target anything within that spray range.
I think what makes Cassius really twisted is the Sentry Stones, honestly, because they're really good scalpel pieces, and they can deal with the things that are trying to deal with the forest shenanigans.
God, that's got to be a callback to your question earlier, because I remember when Mark III first dropped, I think it was Ethan, was talking about how Sentry Stones were utter irredeemable garbage.
Yeah.
And now everybody's saying that they're broken as hell.
They're pretty legit. I think the thing is like...
Has he changed his mind?
He has, because he's playing
the shit out
of him.
He isn't just wrong?
Right. Yeah, he's already bitching at me about the Hellmouth. Like, I guess I'm just like the poster child for Hellmouth and Baraboo right now, and he's like, because of your Hellmouth, the Sentry Stone's going to get nerfed, because they both abuse the same mechanic.
Yeah,
of being able to return something to play and activate it in the same turn.
Yeah, which is the thing that most everything else lost.
Yep. But conceptually, fluff to rules, if I'm reanimating something, it would probably take a while for it to get the shambles off and do something. But if I'm creating something from nothing, it's ready and raring to go.
Your argument is that something's just plum tuckered out from being dead?
It's not my argument. I'm just saying if I were to go with that fluff to rules conversion.
That's a terrible argument.
They wrote the rules, not me.
Yeah, never mind. Let's zappity crumble. Go.
What is your favorite faction in Scythe?
I never played it.
I would like to play it. Once I found out it was World War II, didn't want anything
to
do with it.
It's not World War II at all.
But it's Dieselpunk World War.
It's also not World War II at all.
I thought it was very World War II-esque.
No.
But Dieselpunk, I want to play it, but I haven't, and I wish I did while I was at Gen Con.
I'm probably biased because it's the only faction I've played twice, but the one that can use combat cards as wild commodities, because flexibility is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you play them, be smart. Even if you have, like, if you have two stone and you need to use two stone, use one stone and a combat card. Always keep that option open, because you can't use two combat cards. You can only use one of them. And so the next turn, if you need two stone again, you can't double with the combat cards. But if you do one and one and then one and one, you can, but you can't do two and then two. Right.
Zappity.
Favorite Weird Al song?
Mm-hmm.
Stuck in a Closet with Vanna White. I'm going to go with that one.
It's Christmas at Ground Zero.
That's a good one. That's a good
one. I think Fat was a good one for me, but
all of them.
It's hard to figure it out. White and Nerdy was good when it came out. Like Amish Paradise,
biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Now that's a song you crank and sing along with.
I did always have a really hard time not tapping my feet at my desk while I would listen to the little polka remixes.
Yeah, all of them end to end in chronological order is quite an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Ride with Brian sometime. You'll hear it.
Yeah.
Zavity.
Most useless X-Man.
Long shot. His superpower was that he was lucky, but he's dead.
But until he was dead, it was a good superpower.
Yeah, I think he was a sniper or something. Some X-Men nerd's going to totally roast me for it. But like, I just know that was that was the gist that I understood. Longshot's superpower was he was lucky, and he's toast.
Wasn't he part of the same world that Shatterstar was from?
Yeah, and the stupid dude with the, is it Mojo? Mojo.
Yeah.
People are always going to say Mojo. I like Mojo, but only because I like Spiral. Spiral is one of my favorite characters. Yeah. Spiral's awesome. I would pay a prostitute to just like Spiral. Tort said Cyclops. Somebody always says Cyclops. And the thing is Cyclops is actually like a fucking god. Like, yeah. Cyclops will one-handedly take on like half the supergroups out there. Like, he is brutally overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I like
Cyclops. Everybody just knows him as Mr. Cocky, annoying guy from the movies. And
he's the leader, and nobody likes the leader.
Right. But he's fucking amazing.
Man.
He will blow Galactus' face right off. Like, Cyclops is amazingly strong.
It's something to really think about. I haven't really thought about it.
I'll just make you angry. Wolverine. That guy sucks.
No.
Here's the thing. His superpower is, I'm going to run at him and then stab him a couple times. Whoopty shit. Storm can kill him from half a continent away with a hurricane. Like, Cyclops can blow him off the planet with his face beams. I'm going to run and stab him. Also, I'm made of metal, and our main enemy is someone who rips metal out of people's faces.
Hey, you're just repeating all the arguments about the X-Men. As an EX-Men, you should go watch those on YouTube.
Well, then he's right.
Have you seen those?
I've seen. Oh, that's by the Batman guy, right?
Yes.
That's one of his arguments. Maybe I didn't see this one, but he's right. Like, all he's going to do is run.
His whole conversation about Wolverine is like, you are made of metal. The one thing that our enemy can control with his hand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll just run and stab him.
Like, I'll put one more recommendation just real quick. If you look at like the 1990s cartoon, Jubilee. What the fuck?
Well, I saw a thing defending Jubilee like last week, talking about her powers. It was like defending six supposedly weak superheroes, and like one of them, like they said, Dazzler. Like, yeah. Ooh, I make flashy lights. It's like, let me shoot off a strobe light as bright as 1,000 suns, an inch away from your eye, and see how quickly you can fight me. Yeah. Like, she's actually really strong. But they're talking about like Jubilee. If you squint at her powers the right direction, she can just make your head explode. Because it's like it's on like a proto-atomic level that she controls molecular movement to make her stupid fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they really had to squint to make her useful.
Tort's saying Aquaman, but he's not an X-Men.
Yeah, wrong universe, bro.
Yeah, wrong universe. You're talking about Namor. Namor is fucking amazing.
Also, is he trolling? He must be trolling.
Quite possibly.
Because someone who understands science sat down and squinted at Aquaman, and now he's the strongest superhero in DC. Because, like, he can beat Superman in a fistfight now. He's literally stronger than Superman.
He's also Jason Momoa, so.
Well, that, and he's fucking awesome. But, like, somebody's like, hey, wait, the Marianas Trench is, like, really strong and crushes things, and Aquaman doesn't give two fucks, so he's obviously indestructible. So now he's just indestructible.
Yeah.
And they're like, swimming is really strength training, and he can swim, like, 100 miles an hour, so he fucking punches your face off because his arms are really strong.
As soon as he leaves the water, physics don't apply.
Yeah, well, it's like John Carter on Mars, you know? But yeah, Aquaman outside the water just like will rip a tank in half and is indestructible from nuclear warheads because... It's like
some Dragon Ball Z level training.
Yeah. The weighted cape on Piccolo.
Yep.
Did you think of a bad one yet?
I don't know. Jubilee.
Okay, we'll just agree with Jubilee.
I mean, I can't. I'd have to really sit there and think about him. But
there was an interesting like one-off story with the
Professor X,
that X-Man that nobody could remember. Like, his superpower was that if you weren't looking at him, you forgot he existed, and so nobody even knew he was an X-Man.
The silence.
No, it was actually a really good story because he catches like a girl trying to break into the Xavier school because she wants to be special, whatever, and he explains everything. It's actually a really good issue, if I can remember. Oh, Forget Me Not. That was his name, Forget Me Not. But he talks about how, like, Professor X actually had, like, a mental alarm that would go off, like, every couple hours to remind him that Forget Me Not existed, so he would, like, say hi to him because nobody else. And so they would always think that they just got lucky. Like, they'd get in a battle and, like, the enemy tank would happen to, like, run out of gas, and it's because Forget Me Not was just siphoning the gas while no one was looking because they all forgot he existed. He was pretty cool. And he was just this, like, middle-aged fat baldy guy.
Nice.
Favorite skin in Overwatch? Overwatch sucks.
I like Overwatch a lot.
Amanda posted a thing about plus-size cosplay, and I posted my favorite plus-size cosplay, and she didn't like it or anything. It made me sad. That Roadhog was fucking amazing.
That Roadhog was really good.
Did you see who won the cosplay over at GamesCon for Blizzard?
Was it a lady dressed as Roadhog? Because nope. That cosplay was fucking amazing.
Nope. It was actually even... I think it was even better. It was a gal that was dressed up as Zarya. She looked just like Zarya. Yeah. It was really, really good. Ah,
I think my favorite... Zarya. Now that it's all coming around, I think my favorite skin is Mei and their Eskimo Hunter outfit. It's just very bumbly and cute. It's nice.
Eskimo is a racist term. They prefer Inuit.
Sure, Inuit tribe people. She's Chinese. Never mind. It's not even. she's
not Chinese. Even the right continent.
No.
So not only did she.
But fuck.
It's like if you see a Mexican person, you call him a gypsy instead of a Roma. Basically. Like, you're wrong for so many levels.
Zarya's got one that makes her look like Sorsha a little bit. That one's cool.
I really like the McCree American skin that came out for the summer games. I don't have it yet, so I'm going to be playing this for the next day.
I like Asmodunk.
Well, that's for Heroes of the Storm, not Overwatch.
same thing, but different.
Pajamather. Why has this not occurred yet? This has to occur. Why is Stitch does not have a Roadhog skin? Roadhog is basically almost the exact same type of character. Yeah, he's got the
grappling hook and everything. Yeah. Well, why doesn't Roadhog have a Stitch's skin?
Yeah.
Or even more.
They should cosplay each other.
I would like to see the crossover into the Overwatch world from other Blizzard products, but yeah.
Tort, you're from Australia. Don't tell us the proper term for our indigenous tribes. You just legally made yours not count as animals like 20 years ago.
Well, we can just wait until one of the Eskimo or Inuit people come for the ATC, and they can represent themselves.
There we go. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Zavity, we need to hurry up.
All right, most underrated sauce. Mayonnaise, put it on steak. It's amazing.
Horseradish.
A1.
Best actor for the role of Cable.
Ron Perlman.
Pretty much.
Best idea for an anime or TV show you had yet.
Not that guy that's like promoting himself as being it. I know he's in shape, but he is not big enough to be Cable.
Yeah, fuck wasn't that there, guy there I've never heard of.
There was a campaign for the guy who, the Russian dude from Rocky. There was something for him too, but he just looks, he's freakishly buffed old.
Oh my god, why can I not remember his name? Son of a bitch!
This is great.
It's Roy Batty, for the love of god! Who also, by the way, is like genius level intellect.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
he's a doctor.
Roy Batty.
And
a guy broke into his house and was like, oh my god, it's your house. And then he just waited for the cops. Come on.
Do I have to do that?
My brain's frozen. I'm not going to
stop. Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Dolph Lundgren would actually be a pretty decent Cable.
Couldn't remember Freddie Mercury's name for like 2 hours one day.
I just think Perlman's got he's got the finesse for it.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I would much like him.
Go ahead. Best idea for an anime or TV show you've had yet?
I thought about doing waiting for arcades. Like when I worked at an arcade when I was younger, we always kind of had the same waiting. I mean, I didn't rub my balls on any candy for kids or anything because that's weird, but it was just during the same time period that came out. That's about it.
I want Ron Perlman and Dolph Lundgren in a buddy cop kind of like Dragon Ball Z style comedy. Done.
Where they get to hunt down the worst X-Men.
Yeah. But
they can't agree on who it is.
Yep. God, remember I'm with Busey?
Oh god, that show is amazing. Okay, now the show is going to be Ron Perlman, Dolph Lundgren, and Gary Busey in a buddy cop like Voltron style. We need two other members, Nick Nolte and Jeff Bridges. So Jeff Bridges, Nick Nolte, Ron Perlman, Dolph Lundgren, and Gary Busey all are now the defenders of the universe, and they protect us. Legit. From Kirstie Alley.
Jerry Stiller.
Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's just savage. All right.
you asshole. Zappity. What old school cartoon would you like to see a movie of?
Voltron?
I'm going Mighty Max.
Old school cartoon.
Is that old school enough? It was early 90s. Mighty Max was legit.
I want to see a live action version of Thundar the Barbarian.
Masks.
It's singular. It's just mask.
Yeah, whatever.
What, Dave the Barbarian?
No, not Dave the Barbarian, no.
It was great.
Or the Herculoids. I would love to see Ego, Tundro, and go ahead. Zappity Garble.
Sturm and Drang, love or love, and any list or combos / models you would put in your list with him. It's a them, not a him. Also, which Minions battle engine is your favorite, and what casters are good with them? Luckily, this is really one question. Sturm and Drang with two Gator battle engines is fucking amazing, and I love it. It's one of my favorite lists now, and I'll probably run it forever, because it's really good against Magic 2 and Kara Sloan. But Sturm and Drang is super legit.
Seems like some tech reserved for the... Podcast.
I'll throw this out real quick. Sturm and Drang with the Gatorman battle engine. The only bad thing about the Gatorman battle engines is that they're slow. Boom. TK. Get those bitches off the field fast. They're immune to magic. They're immune to low power shooting because they're armor 21, maybe 22. I can't remember if they're 19 or 20 base. But they're immune to any fucking POW 10 or 11 or 12 shooting. That's just never getting to them. Any big value shooting, they're immune to that too. Because guess what? I have 8 fucking shield guards, including rinky dink little razor boards that I'll offload your armor piercing shit onto all day long. So they're immune to all the spells, they're immune to all shooting, they're immune to all single wound melee, and one of the two of them is unchargeable, so combining that with TK, that one's fucking immune to all melee, and so you have one of them that you can maybe kill if you get a jack or a beast to it. Good luck. And behind it is like 6 heavies. I love that fucking list.
All right, I agree. Zappity.
And then the last one is Andy. Oh, this is the one that started. Why do you have to cut the podcast after an hour or so? My heart sinks every time you say we should wrap this up. I could listen to Crippled System blathering for hours and hours.
Well, you're in luck.
Well, there's actually a small thing about this. The only reason why we cut it after 2 hours or at around 2 hours.
We aim for an hour and a half, and we always run long.
Yeah. Is that YouTube, the posting it from Twitch to YouTube, only cover 2-hour increments. And if we go over, that means I have to do work. And I don't want to do work, so we want it under 2 hours. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Otherwise, normally we want to be around an hour and a half. We don't want to bore you with so much stuff. I understand that, you know, people like our blathering, but I don't want to bore you.
2 hours is decent. Hour and a half is a good length for a podcast anyways, so.
But I don't want to do work, and that's the hardest part.
Well, work is lame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zappity, Grumble, we should do recommendations, and sadly, we have like 13 minutes to do recommendations.
My recommendation is super quick. Aldenoa Zero. It's an anime that Amanda, I caught her watching, so I started watching it. It's really cool. It's like military mecha stuff with a Mars mecha army that has extremely... Their technology is way further than ours, so... check it out if that gets your gears rolling.
What was it again?
Aldenoa Zero.
Aldenoa Zero.
Yep, Aldenoa Zero.
As in Noah Wiley?
Like Noah's Ark.
As in Noah
the
Wiley.
The one with the giant rock monsters?
Sure.
Yes, the giant rock monsters. Throwback to Nick Nolte.
I still like that. I'll let you guys go. I didn't know, whatever.
Wait, you like that movie?
I liked it.
You like the giant rock monsters?
I did. Noah?
Oh, and you God. Like the guy just sitting in the arc just eating unicorns raw?
Yeah, I know. That was the best part. If they would have had him picking his teeth with a unicorn horn, it would have been perfect.
It bothered me that... Oh, God, you're throwing me on this. It bothered me that
13 minutes, Andy.
That fucking Noah this entire time was talking about how that whenever what's-her-name is going to have that kid, he's going to kill it because we can't have this happen. The human race must end here, and they spent 40 days on the ocean. Why didn't one of them just toss him overboard?
Yeah, like, feed her to a lion.
Bloop. No, not her. Feed Noah, because Noah's the one who's going to kill everybody.
Yeah,
because God just told him mankind stopped. Yeah, just toss him over the board, over the boat, out of the boat goes Noah. Anyway, yeah,
I had one and then I forgot it.
You forgot what it was?
Gorillaz is good. I recommended one specific album of theirs. It was Demon Days years ago. It was one of my first recommendations. But Song 2 came on the radio yesterday by Blur. And that song's legit. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, all I can see is 2D. Because I can't even think of that guy as the lead singer of Blur anymore. Now he's just Gorillaz. But they're good. Go buy all their albums. I love Gorillaz. They're probably one of my three favorite bands of all time. And they don't even exist.
I've probably heard some.
You've heard a couple of their songs, like Feel Good Inc. You've heard Clint Eastwood. You've heard, or not Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry. You've heard. Yeah, I could play a couple songs. You'd be like, oh, I know that song. But okay. Yeah.
My recommendation is going to anger the rest of the people at this table.
Suicide Squad?
Nope. My recommendation is to go check out World of Warcraft's Legion expansion. So, the reason why...
I'm changing my recommendation.
No. The reason why...
Get a part-time job instead.
Nope. The reason why I'm suggesting this is the... at least, if you are getting Legion, get into it now. Check out the pre-event that's happening before the expansion hits. The amount of story that they go into, just the story, the kind of the free thing that they're giving away now for the story for Legion. There is... it's amazing what they do with the characters. I won't give any spoilers for it, but holy shit, it's stuff that I have not seen happen to the game in for a long time. They take
now
some...
more than ever, they need you to collect 10 wolf pelts.
No, just what they're going with.
I know, I've heard that they really like shook some shit up. Like, it's their biggest, like not that people really necessarily care about lore so much, but like, this is where they really like, you know what? Here's some fucking lore.
Yeah, fuck it. There's shit that went down, and it's all just part of the lead up event to Legion. I mean, I'll be playing it, but it's really cool. At least from my experience so far, I've been having some decent fun with it. I've been still subscribed to it for a long time, but as soon as the patch hit, right before they took away all my talents and such, and I had to redo my characters, I went away for it for a month, and then my friend Chris. Started playing it again. I joined in with him, rebuilt my characters the way I'm supposed to, and it's been fun. Like I said, that whole pre-Legion event was amazing. I'll talk about if you guys want to hear about what happens, I can talk off air, but it's fucking crazy.
I won't kink shame, but I won't partake.
I will recommend if you join an MMO. And they do that thing where, like, oh, you can have a max level character, like, instantly. Don't do that. Yeah. Because the thing is you will have no idea what the hell you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people who design these characters, you get the skills, like, your entire character's growth from level 1 to level 100 or whatever the max level of your particular game is a... elongated tutorial in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't understand how to use your ultimate spell if you haven't used all your other spells first.
Correct.
And, you know, so just don't, like, level up the old-fashioned way. Don't get power leveled. You know, only get power leveled by friends if you already know the game. If you're new to a game and you're like, I want to play this game with me, you guys should power level me. And then you're level 100 and you have no idea what the fuck you're doing, and then you hate it.
Yep. And it's also, I mean, the game itself is, it's been around for well over 10 years. It's a beautiful world that you travel through. You know, might as well experience it.
Yep.
But anyway, that's it.
Oh, and the can had a closing remark.
Oh.
I don't know if you could even air that.
Oh, you know, I'm upset now because I pre-made the credits and I couldn't include the can.
Yeah. And you know what? Scrap it. Let's just do it again.
All right.
Start from the top.
Okay.
Get your phones out.
Thanks, guys, for watching.